would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello and welcome to... Nope, stop doing that. I'm trying to set something up last minute here. But anyway, you're listening to St. John Forward Radio. My name is John Forward. Now I can hear myself in the headphones a little bit. This show is live Monday nights from 9 till 10 p.m., even in the middle of the deadly Omicron. The building's a bit empty. I don't know if school's canceled here at the UMB campus or if they're just not back from the holidays yet, but had to be let in by security, which takes a bit more time. So anyway, welcome back. I was not live last week. We did a bit of a pre-record. It was a fun show. I usually do these over the Christmas holidays, get together with my dear wife, May, and we struggle through the technical limitations of my computer at home to, we like to play a little game called Kind Words, which, when I first started playing it a couple of years ago, was kind of a nice, upbeat thing. It's just an opportunity to say nice things to strangers and listen to some lo-fi chill beats. But, each time that we sign into it, it becomes increasingly more depressing. So anyway, check out that video. I think the video of May Wonderful and I was a bit choppy, but anyway, the sound is fine, and I think the gameplay shone through. But anyway, we're back. First live show after the holidays. It was I don't remember what I did last year, but I think this year was even less eventful than previous. I think I attended two events, actually. Last Monday, the reason why the show wasn't live was because some friends had a bit of a get-together, so that was fun. I did one brief family gathering with the May Wonderful family. We took rapid tests ahead of time, which is fine. I was kind of... I kind of thought I might have had it. I thought I might have had the COVID. The week leading up to Christmas, I had a little bit of sniffles, and I think I sneezed 5 times. So those are telltale symptoms of the deadliest virus on Earth. Unfortunately, tested negative. I liked doing a little bit of science, the testing, and they had the little test tube and the little cardboard holder following the instructions. It was a fun little game to find out if I'm going to die. May Wonderful, blatant disregard for the instructions. I have a science background, so I like to be meticulous with these things. I'm reading the instructions, I'm following all the steps, and then, old May, she's just pouring it in there and shaking up the tube, which you're not supposed to do, and doing all kinds of unauthorized business. So she might have had COVID, but anyway, I didn't. I think I know more people right now that have COVID than I have for the entire pandemic. I don't think anybody that I knew personally had it, really. Like, I'd heard of people that I kind of knew of, but I don't know. 3 people that were on the last No Jokes Bard show have COVID. I don't think they caught it there, because I don't have it. So, just a coincidence. I'm surprised there wasn't more comedy outbreaks. The whole pandemic, they're all spacing people out and masks and vaccines. I'm like, oh, but hey, all you comedians from different parts of the province, you guys all go hang out in the corner together. You're in the same bubble, right? Yep. But anyway, COVID is tearing through society. Just for some perspective, I just wanted to check out the old numbers. So compared to, apparently they had an update today with no news, other than they've lowered the waiting period to 5 days instead of 10, because, you know, if it was 10 days, then nobody would be able to go to work. Which I don't even know how to take that. I don't know if the 10 days was unnecessary before, or it's necessary now and they want people with COVID that aren't over it to keep spreading it around. That's neither of those. I don't know. Well, I would say that the 10 days to start with, if I had to pick one of those options, is probably the lower one. But anyway, what am I doing here? I don't have it in my notebook. It's in my Google Docs, which I just closed down on the computer. So I was looking at the numbers. We're surging. It's a big panic. Most of the people that seem to know what they're talking about think that Omicron is not really a huge concern. It's very contagious, also very mild, which, I mean, is one step towards it just being a cold. Anyway, cases, I think, is a stupid metric to look at. Hospitalizations, probably more important. So I was looking at the old COVID New Brunswick dashboard just to get a sense of where we're at. So a little over a month ago, on December 1st, this seems to be the peak of our hospitalizations. As far back, they didn't start keeping track of that data. I mean, somebody could probably go back and just look at the daily CBC articles for every day over the last 2 years and kind of figure it out. But the COVID tracker thing hasn't really been keeping track of hospitalizations until very recently. But anyway, we had 67 people in the hospital on December 1st, which 67 is apparently enough to break our healthcare system, which speaks more of our terrible healthcare system than anything else. So we had 67 in the hospital, 17 in the ICU, 676 active cases on December 1st. So as of Friday, the 31st, and again, this number is slightly off than what they said in the press conference today, I was looking at the graph and it said 3,331 cases. The press conference, they said like 3,500 and change, I think. Close enough. That is a 400% increase in cases. Huge jump in cases. You would think, oh man, he probably a huge jump in hospitalizations too. No, hospitalizations down to 45. So we've got four times as many people. I want to say sick, but that's not really accurate. Have tested positive for COVID. Four times as many, but we've got a 33% drop in hospitalization. ICU is up a little bit, 17 to 21. Those numbers are pretty small, though. So technically, if I was writing a CBC article and I wanted to freak people out, I would say that there's been a 23% increase in the ICU patients. I don't know how to take that exactly. I'm not sure exactly what's going on in New Brunswick. There isn't a lot of good information to be found, but it's a little bit easier to figure out what's going on in the States. And I know with them, I found out everybody that goes into the hospital for any reason gets tested for COVID, which is a reasonable thing to do. But if you go in like with a broken leg and you test positive, like I was assuming until very recently, this is naive of me, that when we're saying we've got 67 people in the hospital for COVID, I assume that meant that there was 67 people who are so sick with COVID that they need to be in the hospital. Again, I don't have any specific information on New Brunswick. If anybody else does, feel free to send it in. But that counts everybody who's in the hospital for any reason who happens to test positive for COVID. So, like, if you break your leg and you get a COVID test and have zero symptoms, you're one of our COVID hospitalizations. The ICU number is probably a little bit better. I don't know if... I don't know how that's broken down. Right now, until I hear otherwise, I'm gonna assume the best. I don't know if that's the best, but I'm gonna assume when they're reporting 17 people in the ICU, I'm assuming that's COVID, not just somebody that's in the ICU for some other reason that happens to also have COVID. Or maybe they're just in the ICU in general, and that includes people that have other things that are not COVID. One of my friends, I'm not sure if I should be naming him. I don't think it's a secret, but anyway, one of my more rotund friends has the COVID. He struck positive on Saturday with a rapid test. Still waiting for public health to call him back. See if he needs to get a PCR test, which they're being really weird about the PCR tests and like, well, we're not going to even test you. I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, other than being very old, being, overweight is like the second deadliest factor that you can have to combine with COVID. And, they don't seem to be wanting to do anything about it. You would think, hey, I am a large gentleman and he has tested positive for COVID. We don't want him to go into the hospital to overwhelm our fragile healthcare system, so we should probably have some early treatment. He's double vaxxed. I think he's planning on getting the booster. I don't know if he's already got it or not. But anyway, this is the time for treatments, which I don't think they're treating anybody for COVID in the province. I haven't heard that. You know, listening to all the, you know, comedy podcasts is mostly what I listen to. Whenever I find out, like, somebody that I'm aware of, like a comedian or somebody, has COVID, they go to their doctor and they get treatment. They get some of the unmentionable drugs that everyone is pretending don't work. And, you know, just to throw the old kitchen sink at it. I mean, there are people that are saying that these various treatments that have been demonized have proven to not be effective. As far as I know, none of them have proven to be harmful. So, I mean, if they're not hurting anything and they're common drugs that are prescribed for a lot of things, I think maybe give it a go. If you only save one life, but that does not seem to be what's going on here in Canada. But anyway, not a whole lot going on aside from the world burning. We're back into semi-lockdown. I don't know what the rules are. I think we're supposed to be down to 10, steady 10, down from 20. I don't know. The thing that I was at on Monday had 12 people at it. I don't know. So anyway, things are tightening up. Everybody's down to lowered capacity. I didn't mention this on previous episodes, but it seems as though they floated the idea of allowing grocery stores to make sure that people have vaccinated to let them in. Luckily, that did not work out so well. Dorothy, whatever her last name is, was complaining that, oh, I got all kinds of hate mail. All I was doing was suggesting that maybe we ban the unvaccinated from the grocery stores. What's that? That's no need for mean emails. I mean, I don't know. I've also seen in the internet verse, New Brunswick, our story of almost forcing people to be vaccinated to go into a grocery store has apparently been spreading around in disinformation circles, and people are quick. There's been fact checks that are done. Like, hey, people are saying that in New Brunswick, they weren't letting unvaccinated people get groceries. False. I mean, they didn't go through with it, but it was definitely being floated out there. And if there wasn't the backlash, I 100% am sure that we would have done it. So to throw that out as somebody in another part of the world saying, hey, this is a bad thing that's going on up in Canada, what's going on there? And then like, oh, well, that's fake news because it didn't go through anyway. This is the time. That's another white pill for me. If you don't know what that is, Google it. It's a cause for some optimism. Every now and then, people stand up for themselves, and they float one of these bad ideas out, and everybody gets mad, and they change their mind. That's democracy in action, I guess. Not a fan. Same thing I had mentioned before. When they started giving out tickets for people not wearing masks out on the street, everybody got mad and they quietly rolled that one back. It's not like they did a new scientific study. Speaking of masks, another fun thing. It is no longer a dangerous conspiracy theory that cloth masks do absolutely nothing. That seems to be the mainstream science opinion these days. These scientists, they must have watched my St. John Forward Radio episode from November 2020 called Tinfoil Masks, where I broke down the actual scientific studies that they were floating out there. And I said, in 2020, anything less than an N95 mask is basically useless. Now they're saying you need an N95 mask for Omicron. I mean, the virus didn't get smaller, guys. The reality is, anything less than that has always been useless and will continue to be useless. And even the N95 mask, unless it's used like 100% the way that it's supposed to be, where you don't like fidget with it every 5 seconds and that you have a good seal, you don't have any facial hair so that it leaks out around the sides. Anyway, masks are stupid. That's the takeaway. If you want to wear a mask, I suggest an N95. I think it should be optional. So, as with all of it, I'm not an I don't know. I'm against the mandates. Let people make their own decisions, and if they want to wear a stupid cloth mask, then let them feel nice about themselves. Hopefully, that's not making them more sick. But what I wanted to start with 18 minutes ago, I saw one of my Facebook friends share an article that blew my mind a little bit. It's not a close friend of mine. It's somebody that I would call an acquaintance. I've known this guy since high school. He seems to be a nice dude. Doesn't seem to be a dummy. Shared this article, and it was I haven't read it since it was posted a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to kind of forget about it. I'm not going to pull the article up on the screen. You can Google it if you want to follow along. I don't think you guys need to see me scrolling through it. It was on the nbmediacoop .org website. I don't know what this is. It looks like a bunch of articles that did not make the cut for CBC. Written by Matthew Hayes. I don't know who that is. What other articles does this guy write? Let's see. A bunch of French stuff. I don't know. RCMP have begun amassing. Boring. Nurses Union President Paula Doucet. Union solidarity is of the utmost importance. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Public unions. Barf. All right. So the article is called Merry Christmas, Mr. Higgs. This was posted on December 24th. Blaine Higgs didn't cancel Christmas, and that's about the best you can say. He should have canceled Christmas. Actually, hold on a second. Before we continue, I think this needs a soundtrack. Hang on. Come on. There we go. We need some good clown music. He should have canceled Christmas. Cases in New Brunswick are on a steep upward trajectory, with a record 237 cases reported on Wednesday, December 22nd. The Omicron variant is quickly outpacing Delta, which became entrenched after the premier's ill-fated decision to open during the summer. A disastrous decision, I take no pleasure in reminding readers, was evident to anyone paying attention to the science over the summer. Oh, there's a link to another article called Higgs's Reckless COVID Experiment Endangers Public Health. So, first off, in that first paragraph, we've got some doozies. The Omicron variant is quickly outpacing Delta. I'm not entirely sure how they are testing for the difference between them. They're not even doing, I don't know. Delta only happened because of Blaine Higgs's ill-fated decision to open during the summer. Delta happened everywhere, I think. Probably in the places that didn't do anything and the places that had strict rules. Find me a place that had good rules that worked. Back to the article. Higgs did not have to cancel Christmas. For some context here, canceling of Christmas, I think the rule was you're allowed to be around 20 people until midnight on December 27th, and then COVID was going to get real bad, and we had to cut it down to 10. So that's the canceling of Christmas. Higgs did not have to cancel Christmas at any point over the last 2 months, knowing that Delta variant transmission was increasing exponentially. I have a math background. I don't think it's increasing exponentially. That word has a meaning. An upside-down parabola is not an exponential growth. Anyway. And that our healthcare system was stretched beyond its limits in terms of staff, if not ICU beds. Higgs could have implemented something, some sort of measure, to reduce the chain of transmission. So no specific, he should have done something. That's the main takeaway these days. Everybody wants somebody to do something. They don't even care if it actually works. They're suggesting, stretch beyond its limits in terms of staff. Have they started firing nurses for not being vaccinated? We don't really hear too much about that. I'm not really sure what's going on in New Brunswick. I did hear that we got a big pile of COVID money from the federal government that Higgs just put into, just a general thing and was like, hey, I did good financially this year. Didn't spend it on hospitals. We're 2 years into a pandemic and 50 people in the hospital is breaking our system to the absolute limits. So anyway, let's get into some specific suggestions. For instance, Higg could have called for reduced contacts and put in place 2 household bubbles for 2 or 3 weeks, especially in zones 1, 2, 3, and 7. Not 4 and 5 and 6, though. He could have prevented travel between zones for a 2-week period. He could have closed schools earlier in December, especially in Zone 3, when and where it became evident that the Delta variant was circulating amongst the unvaccinated population of elementary children. The unvaccinated population of elementary children. Those filthy anti-vaxxed kids. He also could have strongly urged working from home. All of those things, we did them before and they didn't work. So just, that's another thing. When they do these things and they don't work, it's like, well, it's because not enough people follow the rules. Or if cases continue to get worse when they put new rules in, they're like, well, it would have been even worse. All right, back to it. Any of these measures might have kept businesses open, but he also could have put some curbs on bars and restaurants, reimposed capacity limits, and with a $407 million surplus from last year, he might even have offered some of these businesses compensation for it.
how about we get some more hospital beds? How about when we have a large boy, man, who has COVID, we don't not call him back for 3 days and maybe get him some treatment so that he doesn't become worse? Ugh. Canceling schools would have been hard for families, but he could have called on the precedent of 1918. What's that? Is that Spanish flu? Oh, more. Shutting the province down. The 1918-1919 flu epidemic in New Brunswick. There, okay, there's another article I don't want to read. Maybe I should. Not today, though. Where are we at? Where are we at? The precedent. Oh, all right. So when the provincial government closed schools, churches, and theaters to cut transmission during the Spanish flu, did it work? I don't know. Did we have the same technology and information that we have today? Probably not. He could have also installed HEPA filters earlier instead of just studying air quality. We need to study air quality, but we also need HEPA filters. Air filtration, I think, is an important thing for COVID. I haven't heard specifically about HEPA filters and whether that works or I don't know. Good air circulation helps not spread COVID. That's a thing. He could have said we needed to do this to keep transmission low and protect more vulnerable populations, especially in light of growing evidence of waning vaccine efficacy against the Delta variant. Oh man, this guy's an anti-vaxxer. He's saying that there's waning vaccine efficacy. It's funny how... maybe I should turn off the music when I'm talking as myself. It's funny how the moment that there's a new thing that they can implement, they're comfortable just completely saying the stuff that right before was dangerous misinformation. So, like, before they got the approval for the boosters, saying that, you know, the vaccines don't seem to last very long was a wild conspiracy theory. And then the moment boosters get approved, it's like, yeah, you know, they're no good after 6 months. Anyway. All of these measures would have made a difference, would they? We did them before and it didn't. And each of them stops far short of a full lockdown. A measure he could have also implemented based on the amount of community spread of the Delta variant, and acknowledged from late November that the Omicron variant was coming. I'm not going to pull it up right now, but you can look at the graph. Do a Google search for New Brunswick COVID dashboard. They say how much of the spread was community transmission, and there's like a big bar for like close contacts, and community transmission like was like a tiny drop in the bucket. So I don't know where this is coming from. I forgot to turn off the clown music. That was John talking. All right. And would have made a difference. Very scientific. He could have said, we need to make this sacrifice now so that we could have some modicum of normalcy at Christmas and so we can concentrate our efforts in the new year on beating Omicron and ending the pandemic. We've been on the verge of ending the pandemic every 2 months, I think, since it started. So that's fun. I would like to follow up with this person and say, hey, if we had done all this stuff in early December, we would have been fine for Christmas. Let's see how we're doing at the end of January. But the premier did none of these things. Underwhelming action. Bold letters. Instead, he and his ministers echoed the anti-science COVID denialism of a fringe minority he obviously wants to keep under the wing of the Conservative Party. Who are the anti-science COVID denialism fringe minority people that are advocating for the stuff, the rules that are currently in place? They're not, I mean, I had Nick Pereira in. That seems to be who they're talking about. I don't think he's happy with the measures by the Conservative Party. They chafe at COVID restrictions like masks, which the Premier said we didn't have to wear anymore. Really? We have a mask mandate. And prefer that decisions about risk be left to individuals rather than to collective measures. Oh, gross. People want to suggest that people make their own decisions about risk. How dare they? What a nonsense thing. And Higgs is obviously one of these hardcore libertarian science deniers. On December 3rd, the chief medical officer of health, Jennifer Russell, and health minister Dorothy Shepherd. Where did this Dorothy Shepherd lady come in? That seems like a very new thing. It used to be all Higgs and Russell, and then all of a sudden this old lady showed up in all the press conferences. I don't know what's going on with that. Anyway, I know nothing about her, other than that she got some mean emails for trying to ban vaccinated people from grocery stores. My heart goes out to her. So anyway, Jennifer Russell, Dorothy Shepherd, announced the new COVID Winter Action Plan, which actually reduced restrictive measures from steady 20 socializing to a cap of 20 people per gathering. Now, they're talking about, instead of having your entire circle be 20 people, 20 people per gathering is a wildly irresponsible thing. Did anybody really follow that? I mean, everybody just kind of pretended that everybody that was at the thing that they were at was everybody that was in their bubble. Is there anybody that, because of an unenforceable rule, would make any difference if they said steady 20 or a cap of 20? I mean, everybody that I know, those are meaningless distinctions. And also, you're allowed to do that even if somebody in a government job at a press conference doesn't need to tell you so. You are allowed to keep it to a cap of two people if you want to. You can never leave your house if you want to. Dorothy Shepherd said, this is what the dangerous fringe COVID denying anti-science people, they want a cap of 20 people per gathering instead of a steady 20. I think that's what the PPC was going for. Dorothy Shepherd said the measures were consistent with several other provinces, even though the situation here was different. New Brunswick's ratio of infections per capita was the second highest in Canada, and Omicron had not yet arrived. I mean, the infections per capita was... I would like to fact check second highest in Canada. I assume they're not just pulling this out of their butts. That may have been true, but I mean... in Canada compared to what? As CBC's Harry Forstyle quite rightly pointed out on December 7th, the rule change didn't make people safer, just at a moment when cases were on the increase. Only 2 weeks later, on December 14th, December 7th plus 2 weeks is not December 14th, FYI, fact check. The premier was already walking that move back due to the predicted increase in cases. The premier sprung into action to, quote, try to save Christmas. That's hyperlinked to a CBC article that I don't want to read. But that did not mean moving to the winter's plans level 2, which would have limited social contacts to a steady 10. You know, all the scientific studies that are talking about how much better the steady 10 was from the steady 20. I've not heard a scientist outside of New Brunswick talk about a steady anything. The measures were underwhelmed. And by the way, we're halfway through the show. You're listening to local 107.3 FM, St. John Forward Radio, live every Monday night from 9 till 10. Repeated... some other time. I don't know. Thursdays at 10 p.m., I think, maybe? I don't know. Look at the schedule. localfm.ca. All right. Back to the article. The measures were underwhelming. The steady 20 was back on. And despite rising school infections... I want to know more about these rising school infections. Especially in Fredericton. Elementary schools would not be closed until the following Friday. Oh my gosh, the people that are least at risk and caused the most damage by these things, they waited too long. all of those kids dying from COVID every day. As Higgs explained, we're taking the measures appropriate for what we know now. This was the day after it was announced the Omicron cases had entered the province from an outbreak at St. FX, where the university failed to follow masking protocols at an X-Ring event. So, I don't know what happened at St. FX. Omicron cases had entered the province because of an outbreak at the student event at St. FX. I guess if you just don't follow the rules, these new variants, they just, you know, pop up out of nowhere. They certainly, I mean, they couldn't have possibly come from any other, oh my gosh, they got two, I'm looking at the article that it's linked to, there were two tickets given for failing to comply with guidelines and restrictions at St. FX. Apparently, yeah, so the Omicron was down in South Africa, and it was like, hey, they're having an, what is it, X-Ring event at St. FX, I better jump over and spread out there. That's apparently where the Omicron came from. I mean, people certainly aren't coming in. You're not allowed to travel internationally if you don't have your double vax, so that's impossible. We could implement a significant lockdown and do it overnight, he told the press conference on December 14. That sounds like a, I'll turn this car around. But would people accept it? And then do things just get worse because people say, you're not ruining my Christmas? Like, yes. Stop telling us what to do. I was way more careful before any of the rules came out. As soon as somebody started telling me what to do, that gets my back up, and I wanted not. Premier Higgs acted like a man determined to ruin Christmas all on his own. Yes, okay. It's not hyperbolic at all. The ebb in public confidence in government is a self-fulfilling prophecy, given how the Premier's inaction and ineptitude has been nakedly exposed to so many over the last 6 months. Yes, it's because that's why people are losing confidence in the government. Not that long ago, there were articles talking about how Atlantic Canada had it all figured out and we had the best COVID situation in the whole world. Not anymore, though. Everybody went all too libertarian, too much listening to St. John Forward Radio, I guess. Moreover, enforcement of the limited rules that were in place at the start of December appear not to have applied to the province's great and mighty, capital letters on great and mighty, further discrediting them. On December 2nd, the Fredericton Chamber of Commerce held a State of the City address for 270 people. Saw social distancing that would have been more accessible and maybe more interesting had it been held on Zoom. Of course, accessibility is the enemy of prestige. This is ridiculous. And maybe more interesting. This city council meeting would have been awesome on Zoom. It would have been so, I mean, people would have had fun backgrounds. I'm not very good at turning, I'm coughing a little bit. Hopefully it's not COVID, but it's probably just because I've been talking for 38 minutes straight. As Harry Forrestal, he's got a crush on this dude. As Harry Forrestal put it in a scathing interview with a hapless chief medical officer of health, so if I'm not allowed to have more than 20 people in my home, even if they are all vaccinated, why can I go to a restaurant and sit with 100 other people I don't know who may or may not be vaccinated? Forrestal was specifically referencing the Chamber of Commerce event, but he could equally have been referring to the ridiculous Thanksgiving measures. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're checking vaccine status on everybody at these places. And that's the weird thing. When they, this is what's wrong. People realize that these rules don't make any sense. But, you know, the smart people like me are like, none of these make any sense. We shouldn't bother with it at all. And these people are like, this makes no sense. We should be cracking down. We should not be allowed to be going to a restaurant. Anyway, that's one way to look at it. Throughout December, cases rose And as they did, public health played down the risks to the public. Yes, it's been nothing but soothing everybody and saying everything's going to be okay. There's certainly no fear-mongering going on at all. Public health does not see a need to recommend further restrictions on New Brunswick at this time. Chief Medical Officer of Health Jennifer Russell told the press on December 10th, citing stable hospitalization numbers. I mean, hospitalization numbers have gone down by 33% since the beginning of December. Of course, higher case counts baked in higher hospitalizations. Really, higher case counts baked in higher hospitalizations. It's actually lower. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, over the past month, we've quadrupled, 400% increase in cases, and the hospitalizations have gone down. Next section, COVID modeling, not listening to experts. If you want, seriously, as an aside, listen to the recent Joe Rogan episodes. I mean, if that triggers you already, then just shut up. Rogan has more. Hold on a second. Can't open this up on my phone. Anyway, Rogan had a couple of actual experts on recently. Robert Malone is the guy that was heavily involved in coming up with mRNA. And who was the other guy a couple of weeks ago? I forget the other one. Anyway, they're all over the internet. Even if you don't agree with it, check them out. They've got smarter things than me to say. They don't listen to the experts, though. Those people get kicked off all of the platforms and fired from their jobs and try to get their licenses taken away. Not listening to experts. Rather than grounding its public health decisions in modeling expectations and science, modeling has been terrible every step of the way. Every model that has ever come out, again, if I'm wrong, send me an example otherwise. I was watching a news article about Ontario going back into some sort of lockdown. The graph that they showed of like normal, and then like, and we predict that it's going to go ba-boom and like huge spike up. It just doesn't make any sense. The models are terrible. Go back in time. I wish I had this right in front of me. Go back in time. Early COVID, this is how many people are going to die. And like every time that they come up with a new number, they never go back and be like, whoopsie. Anyway, New Brunswick Health Minister leaned on ideology. We need the people of New Brunswick to take their power back, is how Shepherd put it. I'm not feeling very powerful right now. People acting in their own self-interest and with higher vaccination rates would help keep the pandemic under control. I mean, I don't know if it would or not, but taking away all of that autonomy is also not keeping the pandemic under control. So if we're going to have a bad pandemic with or without freedom, I'm going to go with the freedom. But anyway, and I mean, that's an insane quote. We need the people of New Brunswick to take their power back. I mean, anybody that is taking that at face value is a word that I'm not allowed to say on the radio. It's a nice theory, but in pandemic practice, that's not how this works. And the proof is in the pudding less than 2 weeks later. Okay, you need to look at better pudding. A pandemic plan requires data and people who know how to use it. The current leadership clearly do not. Okay, give me some data. Find me a place that implemented a mask mandate, mandatory vaccinations, COVID or passports and all that stuff. Find me a place where there's an obvious positive change. There isn't any. Again, if I'm wrong, send it to me and I'll talk about it. On December 21st, Russell finally tipped her hand and showed her data. Oh, that's exciting. What did the data show? What we saw was ghastly. Ghastly. It's not that the model predicted weeks ago that we would be facing 250 cases a day by early January and 400 by the end of next month. I'd like to check that out at the end of January, if I remember. These numbers are scary enough and ensure that our hospitals will be overrun, So why are we taking no action to bend the curve? No actions. Everything's a free-for-all out there. We all see it. What was galling was that the model didn't factor Omicron into its equations at all. Well, certainly there's the Omicron equation that needs to be factored in. This is definitely somebody who doesn't know how to do math. Let that sink in. We are in the midst of a rapid Omicron outbreak, and we are making public health decisions a week in advance using models that don't account for Omicron at all. If heads rolled in New Brunswick, they would roll for this. But alas, heads rarely roll in New Brunswick, even when it costs hundreds of people their lives. Hundreds? Are we even in hundreds in the whole pandemic? I'm pretty sure we haven't cracked 200 deaths yet in New Brunswick in the whole pandemic. And this person is advocating for violence. They want executions and heads to roll. That's not cool. I don't advocate violence. Some will say that it is Higgs' fault that we had a Delta wave in the fall. Yes, Higgs created all the Delta waves everywhere in the world, which made over 8,000 people sick and killed more than 100 people. The costs in terms of long COVID will be counted sometime in the future. Long COVID, I don't know how I feel about that one. Part of me feels like it's hypochondriacs making stuff up. Maybe true, though. One of the guys on Rogan said that he had long COVID, so I'm reassessing the whole thing. I don't know. Seems to me like just somebody has decided my identity is I have long COVID. I'm trans sick. But few people would blame the premier for the Omicron pandemic, which is now about to superimpose itself on the disaster already striking our healthcare system. I mean, the hubris of saying that Premier Blaine Higgs is causing Omicron is ridiculous. Yet measures could have been taken earlier to check its transmission and perhaps limit the sense of impending disaster. We have mandatory discrimination in this province. What else do you want? We have to wear a stupid t-shirt on our face that nobody thinks actually works. Ugh. At time of writing, knowing that we will have thousands of cases within days. What are we at? Oh, wait. It was in my other one. I don't remember where we're at. Was it thousands? No, I think we're in the 600s. And he's saying within days. Anyway. Responsible people all over the province are now canceling their Christmas plans. Many others, me included, will take rapid tests and huddle with another episode. Episode? What? I don't know how to read. We'll take rapid tests and huddle with another household, knowing we may not see them again for months. Ugh, that sounds like a fun party. Have a rapid test and just huddle, knowing that you're not going to be allowed to see each other again. In 2021, Christmas is ruined. But it could have been very different if the province had taken its Delta outbreak more seriously earlier in the fall, as it did with outbreaks in December 2020. Hey, you know how we still have more COVID than we did back then? That stuff didn't work. Hope is not a plan. In this, a lesson for 2022. The self-help individualism in which everyone takes their own responsibility for risks works really well in some situations. Which situations? Those are good values. Oh, this is where they're just pandering. They are really lousy ones, though, in a pandemic when everyone is depending on everyone else. I mean, I want to know, really, this guy, when do you think people taking responsibility and judging their own risks and that those are good values? Under what circumstances is that a good thing? And under what circumstances is it a bad thing? And what's the difference? What is needed instead is something like you would learn in the army. That's what we not. We need military, what's martial law? That's what we need. What is needed instead is something like what you would learn in the army. Discipline and solidarity with your people. It won't be fun, But if we're going to make 2022 a more hopeful one, if we're going to end the pandemic this year if we're going to end the pandemic this year and enjoy Christmas next year, we're going to need to do more than rely on vaccines alone. Nor can we rely on a weakened variant. Omicron is not that weak to come along and end this thing. We can hope, but hope is not a plan. We need a plan that doesn't work and hope that it will. Anyway, this is ridiculous. We're on the home stretch. We will have to be more compassionate towards people who either can't get vaccinated who are hesitant to do so, always for reasons that are meaningful to them, ill-informed or not, instead of punishing them with the risk of death and disability through premature reopening programs. That, kudos to Matthew Hayes. Good for you. Be more compassionate to people that can't get vaccinated. I'm on board for that. And acknowledging people that are hesitant to do so for reasons that are meaningful to them, ill-informed or not. That's a really nice sentence. I'm not one of these filthy unvaccinateds, but I appreciate the sentiment. And that's something that's lacking from the public discourse. So I'll give you that, fella. We're going to have to continue to wear masks and up our mask game to N95s, especially for our healthcare workers. Again, it's okay now to say that non-N95 masks are useless. Always were, by the way. We are going to have to continue to socially distance and put up with it occasionally working from home, especially this January. I worked from home today, FYI. We should encourage people to travel to visit us or to visit folks away, but we may at times have to ask them to isolate and test upon their return. Preferably, let's allow these individuals to make their own plans and impose quarantine hotels only in cases where no plan is presented. Okay, so you only need to go to the COVID concentration camps if you don't have your own camp. Anyway, I'm just pushing for no reason. That was a fairly reasonable paragraph. We are also going to have to call on public officials to follow the science. Install HEPA filters. This person's getting money from Big HEPA, I think. This guy's mentioned HEPA filters a bunch of times in here. Install HEPA filters, improve indoor air quality, and enforce mask mandates. Indoor air quality, I'm on board for. That's another thing that can actually work. Mask mandates? Nope. Leading from science is hard because science is not like religion. Yes, this none of... Ugh. In religion, the rules are hard and fast and supposedly forever. Really. In science, the goalposts continuously change as we discover new things. Remember March 2020 when we knew so little. We are better equipped to get through the middle innings of this pandemic than we were a year ago, when we thought it would soon be over. We can return to normal, but only if we have leadership that is willing to build public consensus for acting on science rather than on ideology. Sadly, that is not Blaine Higgs, who now must step down. I mean, we just had an election not that long ago. People seem to want him, not me. Anyway... But that's an odd turn of phrase. Where are we? Only if we have leadership that is willing to build public consensus for acting on science. So, leadership that is willing to build public consensus. So, we need better propaganda from our politicians. That seems to be what we're asking here. It will also mean making choices about the future that will appear inconvenient from the perspective of 2019. We are not going back to 2019. We are going forward, and we need to embrace the challenges that this new decade is throwing at us. Beyond coronavirus, there are other big emergencies that need our attention. Just as with the virus, mutual aid, collective solidarity, and fellowship will see us through. Mutual aid, that's good. Collective solidarity, gross. Yuck. No thank you. So anyway, that was That was interesting. Hey, Google said this was an 8-minute read. We're at 54 minutes into this episode. So that was a bit of a slog. Let's I've got some fun videos that I've had saved up that I, anyway, here's a fun thing. This is what's going on in Montreal. This is not a scene from, what's that movie? Demolition Man. This is not from some dystopic future movie. This is, Montreal, Quebec, Canada, recently.
Le refus de tempérer à cet ordre vous rend passible d'une amende pouvant aller de 1 000 à 6 000 $. Merci de contribuer à limiter la propagation de la COVID-19. Your attention, please. In accordance with Decree 2021-096, added under the Public Health Act, you are ordered between 10 p.m. and 5 p.m. to be at your residence or the grounds of that residence.
So anyway, for those of you just listening to the audio, they just a parade of police cars and flashing lights and loudspeakers telling everybody to not get COVID. I think they're enforced. I think they have a curfew or something. That's what we need more of from Blaine Higgs. We need a parade of police cars scolding people over a megaphone to get off the street and go home where COVID doesn't spread in the house. Anyway, I've got a couple other things, but I don't think we have time for them. We'll save it for next week. That has been St. John Forward Radio. Every Monday night from 9 till 10 p.m. Unfortunately, that Fredericton show was supposed to happen on the 22nd. A couple weeks ago, got canceled. That'll be rescheduled sometime in January. We'll see how it's going. I don't have anything to plug. No Jokes Barred is on the third Saturday this month. I think that's January 15th. Four-story walk-up with Arif Hussein and Brian Godso is happening tomorrow night, Tuesday, January 4th. That's going to be over Zoom to not spread the deadly Omicron variant. So anyway, check that out. That'll be airing on John Forward Comedy on Facebook, and there's a four-story walk-up page on Facebook, and there's a four-story walk-up YouTube channel. I don't know how many views we get over there. I think most of it's on Facebook. Anyway, St. John Forward Radio, Monday nights. Where's the outro? There it is.
Fun, a rock tilt, loaded run.